Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's stream. Obviously, tonight's stream is a rather somber affair because it is a memorial stream. Memorial stream to our friend, to our colleague, Abby Ward, somebody who was a passionate nationalist and was extremely passionate about the care and tutelage of young children, who she worked with all her life. Now, before we get into the stream tonight, the entropy is open, and I just wanted to address this. Now, myself and Laura went to Abby's funeral. We were invited by one of her daughters. We attended the funeral and the wake, and we asked at the funeral, we told them that we were going to do a tribute stream, and we asked if we did get any donations or if we took donations, where would Abby have liked them to go, or was there any charity? They said there was no charity, that nothing had been picked, and essentially said, you know, put it towards something that she would have liked. So we're not asking for donations during this stream, but obviously if any donations do come in, they will go towards the cause, but you are not in any way expected or asked to give a donation. But the entropy is open because you can leave non-paid comments. If you would like to leave a comment about Abby, if you knew her, if you met her at a conference, if you were in contact with her at any time, if you helped her with any of her projects, if you were part of the alternative curriculum, if you want to say anything about her, any memories you have of her, you can leave them on Entropy in the non-paid questions section, and we will read them out at the end of the stream. Now, we realise that Abby touched many people within our community, and she was very much loved. She attended a number of events and conferences, and she worked with people, as I said, as part of the alternative curriculum. Now, before we get into the memorial stream properly, I do want to address something else. Now, we have had quite a few people contacting us and reaching out to us asking how she passed away. And there has been some speculation about whether she had taken any jabs. Now, when she passed away, she was in Algeria. She was a teacher, as everyone knows. She used to teach reading to young children. She used to teach young children how to read and write. And she was very talented at that. She was someone who loved her job as well, and she'd worked all over the world. She'd worked in Russia, obviously here in the UK, and she was currently working in Algeria. Now, some people have speculated that she may have had complications from taking a jab that she may have needed to take to travel, whether she'd had the COVID jabs or not. We didn't say this at the time because we didn't want to sound insensitive or say anything that the family didn't want us to say, but she did not die of any complications from the jabs. I knew her very well. I'd worked with her very closely. I'd spoken to her on many occasions. She had never taken any of the COVID jabs. I just want to put your mind at rest there. Now, she had always suffered from asthma, and when she was in Algeria, she contracted a bronchial infection. Now, at first, this didn't seem too bad. She thought it was just, you know, a bit of a chest infection. She thought she was going to get, you know, get better. And eventually, when things got worse, she did go to the doctors there. However, their healthcare system wasn't wonderful. And unfortunately, it was misdiagnosed. It wasn't picked up how serious it was. The local doctors didn't seem to understand that she had this underlying health problem, that she had asthma, which obviously aggravated the infection. And because of that, she wasn't treated correctly, and she later developed pneumonia, which led to her having a heart attack. But this was very tragic circumstances. It all seemed to happen very suddenly, but it was nothing to do with the jabs. So please, if you're one of the people who has speculated on that, please don't spread that. It isn't true. Now, obviously, we were invited to the funeral. Myself and Laura went. The family got in touch with us through the website. Now, another small point is Abby did have a number of videos online. She had a couple of different repositories of her work. However, one or more members of her family chose to remove this upon her passing, and we respect those wishes. I personally wish those archives of her work were still there, because she was a very much loved member of the community, and her videos were really great. They were really charming. They really showcased her bubbly and fun personality, and the fact that she had so much love in her heart for our people and for the work that she did with young people, and also showcased her passion for helping young people learn to read and write. And also, some of those videos touched on her thoughts on morality and other issues related to child rearing and teaching. So I'm sorry that they're gone, but that was not anything to do with us, and we don't have any control over that. Now, I've been speaking for a few minutes. I'm just going to pass it over to Laura, because obviously Laura's my co-host here tonight, deputy leader of PA, and Laura also knew Abby really well, dealt with her on a regular basis, talked to her many times. Laura, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you. I wish we were streaming under different circumstances, but hopefully we can do Abby proud and you know, share some memories and some insights about her. Yeah, it came as a big shock to us when we found out that Abby had passed away. Mark and I were on the phone having our daily chat about Patriotic Alternative, and I received a message from her daughter through the Patriotic Alternative website, and I was like, oh my god. And then obviously we were invited to her funeral, which were a couple of weeks ago. We got to spend some time with her family and share some stories, and it's just a big loss, totally unexpected. Just such a lovely, lovely lady, and so brave as well. She used to get stuck in on Twitter arguing with all the anti-whites, and she never backed down. She always stood up for what she believed in, and she's a big loss. I hope that we can at least keep some of her work, even if it's just her book. I know she's got a lot of PDF books on the PA website as well. Get those shared amongst our people and keep her memory alive. I'll pass back to you for now, Mac.
Okay, well, there's a few things I want to say. The first thing I want to say is Abby was tireless. When we said we were going to set up the alternative curriculum, Abby was very, very excited about that. Abby wasn't the sort of person who wanted to sit on the sideline. She wasn't the sort of person who wanted to sit by and let other people do the work. And when she knew there was something she could help with, something she was passionate about, she jumped straight in with both feet. And over the years, many people have come and gone with the alternative curriculum. A lot of people came with a lot of enthusiasm, and some people burned out. Some people have moved on with their lives. And some people, now they've had children and they don't have time to do what they were doing with PA because they're bringing up their own children. And Abby was one of those people who was always immensely consistent. You didn't have to check up on her every day. You didn't have to text her on a regular basis. You didn't have to keep badgering her. She just did what she did. And when she'd done it, and when she was ready to talk about it, she came to you and she presented her work. And it was always like that. She was always somebody who just got on with the job, and she never sought out any particular praise. She never sought out to be a content creator or somebody who wanted to be on all the shows or somebody who wanted major public recognition. She always wanted to be there working, but she didn't want to be front and center. And when you look at the body of work, which is the alternative curriculum, I see so much of Abby there because she was so central to that. And regardless of who came and went, Abby was one of those people who was always a constant. She was always like the backbone of the alternative curriculum. And as such, losing her is a really, really great loss. She was just somebody that, as I said, you could rely on. And when she did pop up with an idea or something to say, she was always so cheery. She was always someone with a really sunny disposition And sometimes she'd be a bit nervous about asking about something, or she was very humble. She'd think she was wasting your time. She'd always come forward and be like, oh, I don't want to waste your time, but I've had this idea. And she was never wasting your time, because if Abby had had an idea, if she was coming forward with something new or something fresh, it was always something that was good. And whenever she produced, you know, a booklet or a piece for the alternative curriculum, it was always of the highest quality. I don't know if you want to say anything about this, Laura, because you worked with her on this as well, didn't you?
Yeah, she used to numerous things. First of all, she always felt like she were pestering you and she didn't want to be a pain. But then also she was just a total perfectionist as well. And she'd do something and then do it again and then do it again and then delete it and then redo it and upload it. And she wanted her work to be such a high standard because it was something that she really, really, really cared about. And Mark mentioned the donations from this stream. Obviously we're not asking people to donate, but if anybody does, we did speak to her daughter and say, like Mark said, what do you want us to do to them? And she said, just donate them to the cause. And Mark and I were thinking maybe we could do something to do with the alternative curriculum or education or children, you know, something that she felt really, really passionate about. So yeah, completely echo all of your sentiments there. And I think when she burst onto the scene, I'm not sure if any of the videos are still up on YouTube, but she was talking about her experience in the education system and how it's changed and the things that are happening now to children that she's really worried about. But she was able to give us insider information, and that work that she put out there, it's just worth its weight in gold. I really do hope that we can save the videos, or at least find a few of them, or get them back, because they need to be shared. She's not just a content creator or an activist or a person on the street. She was a teacher and she experienced this firsthand. So it's just such valuable work and such valuable videos.
She does still appear in that episode of PWR she did with me. And the things she talked about there were eye-opening, because she wasn't just a teacher. She was also a writer. She'd worked for numerous companies producing children's books and eventually went on to write and illustrate her own, which we'll talk about a bit later. And I want to just mention a few things that Laura touched on. Abby was an interesting person to work with, because she was always, despite being so immensely talented and having this wealth of knowledge, she was so humble and often unsure of herself. And she was a real perfectionist, and she had multiple YouTube channels, and some of those she just deleted herself. She would go back and watch her own videos and feel that she'd said something wrong or hadn't done something perfectly and be like, I've got to remove that and I'm going to do them all again. And she kept starting again from scratch. And I'd say, no, they were great videos. You were building up a real following there. And obviously we shouted her out a number of times. She came on one of the PA monthly updates to talk about the things she was passionate about. And it always really disappointed me when she removed her videos, because she was so self-conscious about these things, but her videos were so good. And you see so many videos out there on YouTube which don't really add much to the overall discourse. But what Abby added was so unique, because not only was she so passionate, so well-spoken and so talented, but she had such a knowledge of the topics that she was speaking about. Absolutely incredible woman. And as I said, to find somebody who is so competent and so hardworking and such a perfectionist, but also so humble, she really was one in a million. And I can remember when I was talking to Laura, and Laura told me that we'd got that message through to the website saying that she passed away. And I was shocked, because the last message Abby had sent me was about an entire series of books, because myself and Abby, and we'll talk about this a bit later, myself and Abby had worked on her book, her passion project called What Hard Work. The link's in the description below. If anyone wants to buy a copy of the book, please do. I don't know where the profits go, because they were obviously linked to her and she did want to give them to PA. I told her, no, keep those profits and use them to, you know, plow into the work you're doing to help, you know, help you improve what you're doing by, you know, upgrading things that you need to help you. But she was passionate about this. She wanted to plough the money back in. And the last thing she said to me was sent me a message on WhatsApp saying, you know, I've got this entire set of books, a whole series planned out. You know, I'm sketching them out. I'm doing storyboarding them properly. Will you help me with them? And I was like, well, of course I will. I was looking forward to doing this because I've been working with her very closely. And when speaking to her daughter who collected her possessions from Algeria, she said that she had found those storyboards. And for me, that's really heartbreaking because not only was I really looking forward to working on those books with Abby, the thought of all of those sort of unfinished resources remaining unfinished, it is sad because I would love to be able to say to you guys now that we had just completed a series of sort of, you know, four books, half a dozen books, which could, you know, be used, you know, for generations to come, you know, almost as the Abbey Wood Memorial Children's Library of the books she'd done. But sadly, they will never be finished now. And I will always remember the time I spent working with her very fondly, but it is great with a great sadness that she won't complete, obviously, any of those works. And I couldn't complete them on my own. And even if I was given the storyboards, even if they were very complete, I would struggle to complete them knowing just what a perfectionist she was. Because when we worked on What Hard Work, it was a long drawn out process because she wanted it to be perfect. This wasn't something that Abby threw together. Abby never did anything, you know, with a half-hearted manner. She never just threw anything together. Everything she did, she put her heart and soul into it. And it really, really showed. Laura, obviously you worked with her on the alternative curriculum as well and on, you know, some of the booklets she did. She really was somebody that poured everything into the projects that she loved. And she loved working on it, didn't she? It was a passion project, but it was also like a hobby for her.
Yeah, so she, on the Patriotic Alternative website, on the alternative curriculum page, we have 10 short stories that Abby wrote and illustrated. And then we also have another story, which is a bit longer, called 10 Red Squirrels. So she did all the work herself. Obviously, Mark helped her to format them and I did the website side of things, but she did the drawings and she did the text and stuff like that. And these books are basically aimed at early years children and they have like is it phonics or something? I don't quite understand it entirely, but they have like keywords in them to teach children to read. So those books are still available on the PA website. It's a shame that we don't have a hard copy of them, although I wonder if we could make one and stick them all into one book. But they're available to download for free. She didn't want anything for this. She created those so that we could share them with our children and help them to read without having to, you know, experience anti-whiteness in our books. Just one thing that I want to say as well, she used to put little Easter eggs into her books. So if you look at the illustrations, for example, McAvoy in the chat has just reminded me of one. She had like one where they were going shopping in the village and the shops in the background, it wasn't Starbucks, it wasn't Costa Coffee, it was Grandma Towler's tea shop, the little illustration of the coffee shop. So she used to put little things like that, and there's loads of like cute little extra things to see in those books. So yeah, I wonder if we could get a like an actual physical book made up with all of those in. That might be nice.
We definitely should. Now, I want to, before I talk about the work I did with her, I want to talk a little bit about real life events, because Abby always looked forward to coming to events, to conferences, but she'd always get nervous before she came. But when she arrived, she would fit in straight away, and everyone who met her loved her. She was the kind of lady that was so humble and understated, but at the same time, she left a real impression upon everybody that she met. And I remember when she came to conferences, people were always so happy to see her there, and she sort of almost moved effortlessly between people, just making everyone she met smile. And that's a wonderful quality for somebody to have. And I remember when she attended one of the conferences afterwards, she said to me she was so happy that she sort of put her nerves to bed and actually came, because she said it was such a relief for her to be around other people. And she said she had such a positive reception from all those there for her work, for her streams, for her videos. And she really, really did love it. And I always felt, well, I've always said the movement for me, or Patriotic Alternative, is very much like a family. It's a real community. But for Abby, it was too. And working in the teaching industry, she was someone who obviously felt the pressures of political correctness or cultural Marxism, or whatever you want to call it. She felt those pressures. But when she came to our events, she really did blossom, and it allowed her to talk about the things she wanted to talk about with people who identified with her and that she identified with. And it was so lovely seeing her come out of her shell at those events. And I know that when we hold our next conference, Abby will be one of the people that we really miss having there. She's the sort of person that you would always look forward to seeing. I mean, I look forward to seeing everyone there. I enjoy shaking hands with everyone, but she was always one of those people that people would say, is Abby coming? Is the Anglo-Saxon teacher coming? And it's sad, you know. Obviously we will say something, you know, have a minute's silence for her at the next conference, but she was somebody that would bring a lot of life to the room. You know, she was somebody who had a big presence despite being a small person.
Yeah, do you know what? Just to add on to that as well, obviously we knew her in like a work environment and a politics environment. We never really saw sort of like family or holiday or pub Abby, you know, that kind of thing. And when we attended her funeral, there were loads of pictures of her that they cycled through. And she was just smiling in every single one of them. That, like, I don't show much emotion at these kind of things because I get a bit shy and I'm like, oh, but I was welling up just looking at the photos of her with her family, with her daughters, just full of love, just so warm, just smiling. They really captured the essence of her, which is just carefree, bubbly, warm, thoughtful, just a really, really good woman, a really good woman. So I just wanted to add that onto what Mark said.
And I just want to say as well, when I was at the funeral, I was touched by one thing in particular. We said the Lord's Prayer, and Abby's family had put in the traditional Lord's Prayer because they said that's what Abby would have wanted. And that touched me on sort of a couple of levels. Firstly, that was definitely Abby. But secondly, that was exactly the same as we had done for my own mother earlier this year. And Abby did have many of the qualities that my mum had. And I've just got to say that when I did work with her, I formed a real, real bond with her. And she was one of the people I enjoyed speaking to. And we'd often talk sometimes for around an hour on the telephone. And when we were doing the book, I'm going to talk about this a little bit now. I realized that Abby wasn't just a talented writer. She was also a talented artist. And at first, she had started paying a couple of illustrators to illustrate her book. What hard work. But the pictures never came back the way she wanted them. She was never quite happy with them. She always wanted revisions. And then she'd always end up sort of splitting away from the person she was working with. And then she got up the confidence to do them herself. And the pictures are absolutely wonderful. And she did them all herself. And she asked me to obviously lay it out and present it as a book, but she was very sure of how she wanted everything laid out and what fonts she wanted to use. And I remember saying to her, look, Abby, this is going to take forever because you keep requesting changes via email. Why don't we do it via StreamYard? So I set up one of these StreamYard sessions like we've got going here now, as if we were doing a stream, but obviously we weren't. And I did it so I was showing my desktop. So me and Abby would sit there for hours and I would be working using my design software to lay out this book. And we'd be doing it in real time together. And she was always sort of taken back by how quickly I would move things around the pages. But I was always taken back because she would often say that I was teaching her things, but she was teaching me things. And I'm not just saying this, but I've worked as a designer for 20 years. And when we were picking the font, she was teaching me things about fonts that are for children. And she said to me, you can't use that font for a children's book. I said, why not? And she said, I like that font. It's a really, really nice font. She said, no. She said, the A looks like a number six that's been put in a mirror. It's like a six that's been flipped. And she said, you can't ever do that with a child. All children learn to write an A as a circle with a stalk. And she said, if you show them the other A, it just confuses the matter. We need a font which is a circle with a stalk. And I thought, I've been working in design for 20 years now, and I have never thought about that. And I didn't know that. And she would effortlessly drop in these little pearls of wisdom. And I always felt so privileged to work with her. And she always said that she felt like she was an imposition on me. She always felt like, oh, I'm taking up too much of your time, or this is taking too long. But she never was. It was always really, really good fun working with her. And I would always look forward to spending more time with her. And we worked on these books, and she would often go away, and she would take them to one of her daughters, and her daughter would give her feedback on the rhyming, and she'd reword certain things, and then she'd say, I'd rather have this picture here and this picture here. And when it came to producing the cover, I was explaining how sort of a cover should be formulated, because obviously I've done a lot of layout. So she went away and said, well, I'm going to, instead of using a collage of the pictures like she'd planned, she said, I'm going to draw a picture for the cover. And she did this really good picture of the little boy in the book being a little bit naughty. But we did it, and then she felt he looked a little bit too naughty. She said, I don't want him to be naughty because he's not naughty. I want him to be mischievous because he's just boisterous. So then we reworked it all again, and we got it perfect. And it did take sort of half a dozen, maybe more sessions. But all of those sessions were time that I'll look back on with both fondness, but also slightly with a heavy heart, because I was gearing up to do all that again for six more books. And now it's terrible that we won't be doing that. And it kind of seems a bit silly to say this, but I'll miss the time that I don't have with Abby to do that. And I also think that I feel sad that our alternative curriculum will be missing that work. And I genuinely think it would be something that would be of great use to a number of children. I think she is somebody who, as I said, had a great gift, and her work, it was all pearls of wisdom.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything that you're saying. It was very touching. I'm not sure what else to add to it, really, other than I agree. Should we maybe share some more stories? Or
yeah, well, I basically shared my stories now. I mean, that's my biggest memory of Abby was doing the book. And I just want to say, before Laura shares her stories, I'd just like to say to you all, the book is available from Lulu. It is really a good quality book. I'm seeing if I've got one at hand. I should have really got one at hand, because I've got all the different copies of it as we worked on it and as we improved it over time. But it is a really, really lovely book. It is well printed. And when she saw, because she took the book to a local printers and got them to print it, and they printed it on really cheap paper with what's known as a paper cover. Because when you print books, you have the paper that's in the book, but rarely is that the paper that binds the book and forms the spine and the cover. And these guys, they just did a stapled paper thin cover made from the same paper as the book. And she was really crestfallen when she got it, and she posted it to me, and she was clearly down. I said, no, we can't have this. We can't have this. This isn't suitable for your book. I said, look, we're going to do this through Lulu. We're going to take your book there, and we're going to get it done properly. And I took her through all the settings, and I made sure all the paper that we had was the right paper, because she wanted to put it on just book paper. I said, no, yours is what's called a photo book, because it's a picture book. And she was like, oh, and I said, we're going to do it on a photo book and we're going to have it bound rather than saddle stitch. So rather than a couple of staples down it, we're going to have it properly bound and glued in. And I remember when she rang me and she got the first draft of it in the post printed properly on the proper paper and with the proper cover and it all glued in and all looking really nice and done at a professional printer's that specializes in producing books like that. And she was absolutely over the moon. And you could tell just how pleased she was. And when I could hear the happiness in her voice, I was happy because I really, really always felt with Abby that because she was a little bit shy and a little bit too humble, that when she was happy and you brought her out of her shell like that, it just gave her that extra bit of confidence that she needed. And I was really happy to spend that time with her. Anyway, Laura, I've really exhausted sort of my, you know, really what I want to say about Abby and the time I worked.
I was just looking on Twitter because I used to speak to her on Twitter, and obviously I got suspended. I got my account back a couple of weeks ago, so I was able to go on and read my messages with her and, you know, go back over the conversations that I'd had with her. And she was always like, I don't know how to put this, but she was always sort of like putting people in the place. Like, when I post something and it was just stupid, she didn't suffer fools at all. And she'd just always sort of like dive in at the deep end in the trenches on Twitter. Place. And there were loads of conversations that me and her had sort of like behind the scenes where she was sort of like saying, oh, can I just double check that this is right to say about English people? Is it all right to say this? Like, you know, that kind of thing. She did doubt herself a lot, but it never stopped her from sort of like diving in at the deep end and just telling someone to shut up. So I was just checking if those messages were still on there, and they are. I remember she actually had a pile on one because she uploaded a video where she'd said something positive about white people onto Twitter. And, you know, when you end up sort of like going mini viral and loads of people jump on you and loads of big accounts repost you and you end up getting ratioed. I remember one time that she did get that on Twitter and she just absolutely held her own and didn't back down. Yeah, those are some fond memories that I have of her. Just her putting people in the play, just getting stuck in, basically, and never apologising for perfectly reasonable views.
That was definitely Abby. I always remember on Twitter, and she was very chirpy on Twitter when it came to sort of the little one-liners. And, you know, as I say, putting people in the place, she was very good at that. She liked her Twitter account. And she did make friends on there as well. There was a little circle of people that she chatted with. As there was with, you know, other people who watched or listened to her streams. And when she did pass, I did get a number of messages from people who were close with her and had become friends with her and had kept up constant correspondence with her during her time in the cause before she passed. So she did make real friends. And just looking in the chat now at people, you know, remembering her, you know, Aunt Sally saying when she saw her, you know, and admired her hair and asked what colour she used, only to be told that she didn't and it was all natural. That was Abby down to a T, always saying something and making everyone smile. Do you have any other memories, Laura, before we do some of these super chats?
And Heretics also said in the Odyssey chat, I have messages on Twitter from her too. She was telling me about her appearing on Patriotic Weekly Review and how nervous she was. Bless her. So she must have been nervous about appearing on your show.
She was. I remember coaxing her through it and I said, look, I said, what I've got, I said, I usually have three topics, Abby. I said, I usually have three topics. And I said, that usually takes people through to the hour mark. And then you're sailing because it's all questions from the audience. And because you're a teacher, people are going to want to ask you a lot of questions. So we'll get through to the hour mark. I says, don't worry. I says, because it's you and I know you're a bit nervous. I said, I've got about five or six topics that I can cover. I've got ones in reserve in case we go through them. So don't worry, there'll be no dead air or anything like that. And I remember when we got her talking, she really came out of her shell and we didn't need six topics. We didn't need anywhere near six topics. She had so much to say. And again, that was where she was so humble, a little bit nervous, a little bit shy. But when she came out of that shell and spread her wings, she was, you know, like a butterfly, and everyone looked at her and she made everyone smile, and she was a really, really beautiful soul that brought happiness to everyone. And that stream was, it's still up, obviously, on my BitChute and Odyssey. I'm never going to take that down. My streams with Abby will always remain there. So if you want to check out what she was like, and you know, you can relate to some of the things we're saying, you can still find them there. Yeah. But we have got some super chats in her memory. We have Martin McAvoy, who gave £10. Thank you so much. He said, Abby was born in Malta while her dad was an officer in the Royal Navy. He later commanded ships in the South African Navy. She spent a lot of time in Southern Africa and loved the people. I always wanted her to write a biography, but as Mark said, she had no self-importance. Yeah, she was brought up in... I think she spent a lot of time in Rhodesia. I think she met her husband in Rhodesia, actually. And she was somebody who was very well traveled, and she had a great, great knowledge about issues we talk about. And she understood the threat posed by whites losing control over their nations and ceding that control to other people. Laura, it seems that your stream is breaking down and it's getting really pixelated and the video's not working.
Oh, it's
and your robot.
Everything looks fine for me. Oh, am I roboting to everyone else?
Yeah. So I don't know if that can be fixed. Stan one sec. Stan One gave £10, thank you so much, and said, RIP Abby, sincere condolences to our friends and family, thank you so much. Jimmy Smash gave £5, thank you very much, and said a lovely tribute to Abby, thank you. Aunt Sally gave £3, thank you so much, and said, RIP Abby Wood, gone far too soon and a sad loss to our people, thank you. Max Anderson gave £3, thank you very much, and said, I bought Abby's book for my niece loved it. I obviously have multiple copies of the book, but I have read it to Sophia on several occasions and she enjoyed it. And I also wonder if Sophia would have been like the child in that book had I taken Sophia to a place of work. It's certainly a book that anyone with small children would not only love for their children, but would relate to as well. Abby made it a very relatable tale of how dads don't necessarily understand how difficult looking after a child can be for a day. And I certainly know that's the case. And Mrs. Mark absolutely appreciated that sentiment. White Light Knight gave $3, thank you so much, and said, Abby is proof that we are on the right side of history. What a great woman. Yeah, I just want to comment on that. She really was. And often when you see nationalist spokespeople on television or in the media, they're not always the perfect person. And I kind of wish that Abby was somebody that we could have put front and center in front of the entire nation to articulate our point of view. Because I think anybody who was a decent minded person would have found it very difficult to see Abby as disagreeable or unkind. She was filled with love, and you could see that she was doing what she was doing in the nationalist cause because she was motivated by nothing but love for her people, her culture, our traditions, and a real passion to preserve those and to preserve our culture and our tradition by passing down the ability to read, to write, to have a love for books and to help children, you know, away from the screens and toward, you know, a place where they would say, no, I don't want to watch TV today. I want to read a book. Can you read a book to me? I want, you know, that's what she wanted to instill in children, which is obviously something that's absolutely, you know, beautiful and completely selfless. Sons, we've got a couple more. Dino Legovic, 1964, gave $3. Thank you so much, and said, we are all here for only a short time. RIP Abby Wood, thank you so much. And Common Sense gave $5. Thank you so very much. And he said, how very sad that she doesn't represent all teachers nowadays. And That's very true. And that was something she would often talk about with me. She'd often talk about how, despite being a passionate teacher and passionate about teaching, she was always very disappointed at the way that the teaching profession had gone, the way that teaching was infested with, you know, cultural Marxism and ideals that she didn't hold dear to her. And she was somebody that wanted to teach children to read and write the correct way, minus all that ideology, minus all that political correctness. She wanted just to give the gift of literacy to every child. And when we were actually at her funeral, we met a young lad who had been with her in Algeria, who knew her. I think he was only about 28, and he flew over and actually spoke at her funeral. And it was amazing to hear him speak. And we spoke to him at the wake, both myself and Laura. And his experiences with Abby in the classroom were exactly the same as our experiences with Abby in nationalism. And she brought that love and light and happiness to everyone she met the world over. And I remember when she was looking for that job in Algeria, she said to me, I just get sick sometimes of everything that's going on in Britain and need to get away. And originally she was planning to go to Russia, but she chose not to because she said it was too cold at that time of the year and the cold just got in her bones, she said, and she didn't like it. So that's why she chose Algeria. But she taught in Russia before, and they couldn't wait to get her back. They loved her so much. She did such a great job that all of these schools in all these different countries were desperate to have our Abby go over there and teach their children. And when you think about it like that, she was so well loved. There was almost this international tug of war over which country got Abby teaching their children. And obviously she didn't choose Russia in the end. And, you know, she went to Algeria, but it was so nice that people all over the world felt the same way. And I just wonder, you know, and hope, and I'm sure this is the case, but I bet there are children out there growing up in Algeria, in Russia, in the other places that she taught, who've got fond memories of that lovely little lady from England who came over and sat with them and taught them how to read and taught them how to write and taught them how to form an A properly with a circle and a stalk. And maybe when they teach their children how to read and write, or they sit on the bed with their little girl or their little boy in the evening for story time, I wonder if they'll pass on any of that wonderful Abby Wood magic. I hope they do. I hope they do. I hope she lives on in the hearts and minds of those people whose lives she enriched. Rory Herbert gave £5. Thank you so much. And said, I never met Abby, but I recall asking her on PWI if she knew about the Millie Molly Mandy series of children's books from the 1920s. She was so excited that somebody in the chat knew about them as she read them as a little girl. May she rest in peace. Thank you so much for that, Rory. That is a really, really lovely memory, and I'm pleased people remember that episode so fondly. And Storks gave £5. Thank you so much. And he said, a lovely tribute to a kindly lady. Well, I'm pleased you've enjoyed the show, and I'm pleased you've enjoyed the memories we've shared with you of Abby. Do you have anything else to add, Laura? Because obviously, you know, the stream is going to come to an end.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to end just by saying that people often say that we are full of hate and that we're horrible people. Obviously, they're lying. But I think Abby really epitomised what nationalism is about, and it's about love. And not only did she teach English children, but she travelled abroad and taught children of all races. She just wanted everyone to have a good life, you know, where they can be safe and prosperous and they have a good future ahead of them. And that's what nationalism is. And Abby loved everyone. She wasn't a mug, but she loved everyone, and we loved her as well. She was a very welcome part of our community. And I just hope that we can keep her memory alive and continue to share her work. And she joins the we need a name for the people who have made a massive contribution to us and then left us, like Simon Harris and Nick Lawrie and Abby Wood. You know, these are special people who did their bit and are sadly not with us anymore, but we definitely won't forget them. Yeah, that's all I want to say, really, just that she epitomised nationalism and love.
She did. And I want to sum up by saying, Abby, she was a wife. She was a mother. She was a teacher. She was a friend. She was a nationalist. She was somebody who, at first glance, might have seemed just like, you know, a smiley little lady who was stood there mixing with the crowd. And she might have seemed at first unassuming to some. But when you scratch the surface, when you got to know her, she was an incredibly strong, incredibly talented, absolutely beautiful person that was a joy to spend time with. That woman enriched the lives of every single person she ever met. I can't imagine there's a single person who ever met Abby that didn't end up loving her by the time they'd finished spending with her. She was somebody who just had the ability to bring out the best in people. And she was passionate about doing that. But for all her wonderful qualities, for all her amazing character traits, for all her skills, for all her talents, and she was so talented with so many things, she was so painfully humble. And she never really realized just how incredible her work was and just how much she lifted everyone's spirits. And the time I've spent with her, I will never forget. It was a privilege knowing her, and it was a privilege to have somebody of that high quality attached to our organization and so openly promoting what we stood for, working for us and helping us to build a real alternative for mums, for dads, and for the people she was most passionate about, which were the children. We do have one last super chat. It's from Ian Holloway. Thank you so much. He gave £14 and said, me and my wife met Abby at the Southern Conference after doing the station shuttle. We spent a lot of the evening with her and found her to be a lovely lady. She'll be greatly missed. She certainly will. That does bring us to about the end of the stream. Thank you to everyone who left a message tonight. Thank you to everyone who super chatted and gave their thoughts on Abby. We will write down the total of what has come in tonight, and hopefully at some point in the future we will be able to do something in her memory. I'd just like to say that in the future I hope people like Abby will enter the Hall of the Heroes, somewhere where we remember people who made a huge sacrifice and brought so much to this movement and were part of this wonderful extended family. And she certainly was. It is with the greatest of sadness that we're doing this tonight. And I just want to thank you all for sharing this stream with us and sharing your memories of Abby. Laura, I'll leave you to have the final say.
Thanks. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, I'd just like to say that I agree with what you said, and just like to, you know, finish on a high. Abby was involved in this because she was passionate about our people, about British people, and she did what she did because she wanted our children to have the best start in life. She didn't want them to be brainwashed. She didn't want them to be taught to hate themselves. She just wanted them to be taught, well, good morals for a start, but also basic things like being able to read and write. So I just think I've said this a few times over the stream, but I just think it's so important that we take that message and we continue down the path that she was going on, share her work and continue to spread those morals and continue to do what's right for our people. So yeah, I would like to leave it on that, and thank you everyone for being here tonight, and I hope people enjoyed the memories, and I'd be interested to hear other people's stories and memories as well, if you fancy dropping me a message. But yeah, take care, everyone. I'll see you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you to Laura. Thank you to everyone who joined us tonight. Thank you to everyone who left memories throughout the stream. And just a quick reminder, the link in the description below is to Abby's book. That is the book, What Hard Work, that she worked on with me to sell at PA events. She always wanted to bring a stack of them to a conference so she could sell them. Sadly, she'll never get to do that, but you can still buy the book. You can give it to your children. You can give it to your grandchildren, to your nephews, to your nieces, and hopefully we can keep Abby's beautiful memory alive with that book. And still, despite her not being with us, hopefully her book and her other work will go on to inspire generations of children still to come. Thank you so much. Have a great evening, and we'll see you again soon. Thank you and good night.